The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judea and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Have you ever been on a road trip with a young child? Got to experience that a little bit this week. And it seems that no matter how many trips that we take to the same place that we always go, if we're going up to grandmother's house, it's the same questions every time. How much longer? When are we going to get there? Is it going to be dark when we're there? It's just this incessant peppering of questions, more than an FBI interrogation. It's just they keep coming. But the thing is there's no satisfactory answer that we can give, right? That if we tell them exactly how long it's going to be an hour and 37 minutes till we get there. I will get that same question just a couple minutes later, just coming one right after another. To the point to where now, I have chosen as a father, that is my moral obligation, to just lie to them. Just make things up. Or, in the case that it gets a lot of times, just pretend I can't hear them and hope that they get busy doing something else or, best case scenario, fall asleep. And we tell them that if you fall asleep, or if you read a book, or if you play with each other, which can be dangerous, that can spur a whole other notion of things, that if they just do something, that will be there before they know it. But still, the questions would just keep coming, to where I realized this past week why I felt like my father was deaf when I was growing up. Was not that he was actually deaf or that he couldn't hear me. He was just wishing that he was. Wishing that he couldn't hear me after that much time. You see, and kids are a little bit more honest. With kids, we get a little bit more of a perspective of how the concept of time can be a little bit skewed. But they really kind of just bring to the surface the fact that many of us know is that we just simply don't like to wait for things. That with waiting comes an expectation sometimes that we don't know how long we will have to wait. I was in a doctor's appointment just this last week, this Wednesday morning, where I waited much longer than I thought I was going to have to wait. We're not exactly sure. When are we going to get there? When we get there? When are we going to be able to walk in the door? Well, when they open the door. How long are we going to have to wait? Until we don't have to wait anymore. Waiting doesn't really come with a solid answer a lot of the times. And when it comes to our faith, we find ourselves in a similar tension of waiting and not really knowing how long that we're to wait. We come to a season of Advent where we anticipate, to where we await for the arrival of Jesus. And we look back to a promise that was fulfilled thousands of years ago in Bethlehem. And so we think of our waiting as a fulfillment of shepherds and stars and mangers. But the reality is that we look back to a promise fulfilled so that we have faith in the promise that's still to come. That God has said that God is coming back for us. That God will come again. And when will that day happen? Eventually. We don't know. The best theological answer that I can give you is as similar as a parent driving a car on a road trip. We'll know when we get there that it's still to come. And so we start off Advent with this vision, with this prophecy of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 2, of the mountain of the Lord being elevated across all other mountains. And this vision upon nations and people streaming to Mount Zion, to the mountain of the Lord, where they'll come and God will dispense instruction, wisdom. God will mediate peace. And all people will come to see the very thing that God has said will happen finally in the world with us again. A time where all that we have hoped for all that we have prayed for, a time when finally every tear will be dried, a time where there'll no longer be a need for war, of anger, but to where we'll take the very things that take life away and we will then bend them and hammer them into things that give life, into things that feed others, in the ways that we build community. The very mountain of God. The very presence of God coming to make all things new again. And when will that day come? Eventually. We wait. And we wait in this tension of not knowing how long we are to wait. And so Advent finds us in a very unique place. Because it finds us looking back towards something that we anticipated before. And so as we prepare for Advent, we point back to Jesus coming at Bethlehem, to the anticipation of what it means for Christ to come alive in our world, for Emmanuel to be with us. And we anticipate Christ's arrival coming at Christmas. But the reality is we anticipate and wait in the world today. We long for the day to where God says that all things will be brought back to Him, to where all creation will be made new again. Don't we long for that day when peace shall reign again? A promise to be fulfilled. But the unique thing about waiting is that waiting always comes with the expectation that what we're waiting for will be worth it. That what we're waiting for is something that is worth all of this tension and waiting and space in which we have to endure before. And the promise to which Isaiah outlines here in chapter 2 is a promise that comes in a long line of promises from the very first moments of creation to Jesus Christ Himself, to the Holy Spirit, and the promise that God has to the church and the world today, that God is coming back for us. And that promise is one in which we inherit. It's one in which we long for. And so we look back to Bethlehem, we look back to Jesus' ascension, we look back to all these promises that were fulfilled before so that we can stand in faith in knowing that God has kept every promise that God has ever given us. And that this final one is something that you can be sure is worth waiting on. And so what do we do when we wait? What do we do in this space to where we're wanting God to come back for us, for all these things to be made right again? This week, I feel like the Advent candles help us learn and teach that lesson. We do the work of peace. Because you see is that as God's mountain is established, as God's kingdom is made new, as we work for this promise to be fulfilled of peace, that God will fulfill the promise of peace, but the work of peace is something that starts today. And it begins with each and every one of us. And so when we get to the day in which we long for God to answer all of the questions that we have, that if our question will be, why did it take so long for peace to come alive in this world? Aren't we a little bit nervous that God will turn to us and ask us the very same question? That our work of peace is something we long to be fulfilled, but it's a work that begins today. And it starts for many of us as one single light, as a spark, as something that begins in such a small and in some ways it looks like an insignificant way. But just watch over the next couple weeks in our waiting what happens as the light begins to grow brighter and brighter and brighter. Until finally we light that middle candle, that Christ candle, that reminds us that these promises are to be fulfilled in the brightest, most possible way that we can imagine. But the work of Advent and the work of waiting is a work that we take up today. In the space of seeing God's promises coming closer and closer, we can begin today to be the ones that go out and begin to spread that spark and that light. That we can walk in the darkest, most difficult places with others in life, and we can bring words of encouragement, of hope. That when life seems so chaotic and it seems so out of control, that we can be there with the ones that have encouragement of peace, of calmness. We bring a spirit of life into a hope of which we look around us, and we cannot wait for God to return. And yet we are still called to move forward to be that first sign of life to the world. You are evidence of God's promise coming real. You are God's promise with flesh and bone and life, of saying that these promises are real because you've seen them come alive in your world. You've seen relationships be healed. You've seen the power of forgiveness. You've seen what it means to bring peace when everything else is falling apart. And we take that life, we take that light, and we take that peace out into the world. And we begin to be the very first signs that God's promises are coming closer and closer. And that promise and that fulfillment is worth waiting on, because there's still so much work to be done. And that work of peace can start today with each and every one of us. Will you pray with me this morning? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for the birth of a new thing. Lord, for an Advent that breaks into us a new truth, that though we wait for your peace and we wait for your kingdom, that you are calling us to be the leaders. Lord, to be the first sign of the light and of hope of a promise come true. That we as your children and your disciples, that as we wait, we might keep our hands busy. We might keep our relationships full. And we might begin to build the very first parts of the promise that you say will be fulfilled. And that as we wait, Lord, we begin to see your promises come true. The very mountain of God in which all things come and to which peace will reign, allow that peace to begin first today in our very hearts, that we might pour it out for the world. As we pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.